Okay, this is Gary Williams from the EFT World magazine. I'm lucky enough today to be joined by Emma and Sue from the EFT Centre. Welcome to you both.
Hi.
Now, I was going to actually explain what you do, but there's two of you there, and also, I mean, you do so many different things. So, Emma, first of all, can you give us an idea of what you do? We know you do EFT. What other things do you do?
I'm a hypnotherapist and an NLP master. But my passion really is EFT. I use it with Irving. The others are just skills that I add to that. I work in a cancer charity. I'm very interested in serious disease with EFT and also working with trauma and sexual abuse. Those are kind of my main areas.
So you work, like you're saying, with the physical side of it. What do you mean by that, Emma?
Personally, I don't believe there is a divide between the physical and the emotional. I think they're the same thing, just showing up in different ways, if you like. So I work with the physical side of serious disease, pain management, healing, that sort of thing, but also very much looking at the emotional roots, emotional contributors, why a certain person has got a particular disease and the next person hasn't got it, what factors are involved and what can we change. I believe we're very much at the beginning of this. I don't think we know how much we can do with this, actually. I think there's so much more out there. Exciting place to be.
It's a very popular area. Sue, are you interested in that side of things as well? And what else do you do?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I also work with serious disease. And we run groups for women with breast cancer, which is something that we do on a monthly basis. And we've been doing that for, I think, about 3 or 4 years now, which has given us an amazing opportunity to kind of see the effects, the positive effects from using EFT with women in these groups. And we've been able to kind of monitor, you know, both emotional and physical changes that have come about over that period of time. And you know, in a sense, sort of develop new ways of working from, you know, being there on the ground floor. So that's definitely something that I'm interested in and do a lot of work with. I also do a lot of work with addictions, and not just recovering from addictions, but what I'm interested in is the kind of transformation that can come about from getting over, you know, a major life crisis like serious disease or a major addiction. So that's what really fascinates me. It's how we can kind of go from touching rock bottom, if you like, to creating a whole new life for ourselves and a whole kind of new purpose for living.
Right. And you say addictions, does that include weight loss and that kind of thing?
Yeah, it would do, because really, you know, the principles are the same, whether it's somebody, you know, struggling with being in a rut, you know, watching too much television and not being able to do it, you know, or somebody that's you know, suffering from you know, full-blown heroin addiction. The principles, the ways in which we work, and the kind of the way that the problems are structured, are just the same.
It sounds a very complicated area. What kind of training does one need then to actually, you know, work in that, other than say the EFT side?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a really interesting question, because, you know, both Emma and myself are really passionate about the way that we use EFT all the time in our work. But basically, you know, EFT is just a tool, and a lot of the power of it kind of depends on the framework or the toolbox that we're able to put it within. And this is something that, you know, we're very, very keen to help other people to develop as well. And it really means calling on, you know, the backgrounds that both of us have in, you know, well, for myself, beginning training in psychotherapy, psychoanalysis, and then going through to NLP master practitioner training in Ericksonian hypnosis. All of these things create a kind of framework of understanding about how to work with people that then allows us to use EFT most effectively.
Right.
This is something that I do feel very passionately about, because while we all know that it's possible to learn the basics of EFT in, I don't know, probably about 10 minutes or 15 minutes, and that's absolutely fantastic. And you know, many of us have had the experience of making a profound change in a matter of 10 or 15 minutes. But if we're talking about working with really serious disease and chronic addictions and those kind of states, we need to be looking at much longer term work, and we need to be looking at much longer training than, you know, sometimes we're led to believe with EFT that everything happens as a one-minute wonder, and, you know, everybody can learn anything that they need to know in, you know, one day or 2 days or whatever. Because I do strongly believe that we're missing a trick if we don't give it more than that and look at what else we need in order to use it most effectively.
Yeah, so a question for you both really is that, yeah, you know, what do you feel about the way that EFT is actually promoted and the results of that?
I think that's a difficult question really, because I mean Gary Craig has done amazing things for promoting it and getting it out there, and you know, he's done fantastic marketing, and it's much more well known than it was even 4 or 5 years ago when we started it. But there is the danger of people thinking that everything happens in a second, and that people can stitch themselves up with that belief, because actually we're more complex than that. I mean, yes, you can clear an aspect in a few rounds often, but it's about the multiple aspects that contribute to, say, something like serious disease or addiction or, you know, severe trauma, PTSD, that sort of thing. It's about persistence. And Gary himself would say that too. But the marketing of it, the way it's been put out to the public, I think is fantastic, because it means everybody has a shot at it. You know, nobody seems to be able to have a go for themselves. And that's, I mean, we don't know how many results happen behind the scenes like that. But, it, you know, he's done a fantastic job with his generosity there.
So if somebody's just starting out with EFT, what realistically are they able to do, and kind of where shouldn't they go with their practice?
Well, I mean, Gary always says don't go where you don't belong, and we very much stress that in our trainings at different levels. At level one, you can work on your own issues. We recommend people write their own personal peace procedure, which is a way of kind of doing an emotional spring clean, if you like. We teach people how to do that. We do place an emphasis on, you know, how far they can go with this, and that, you know, maybe a simple problem that's got one sort of piece to it is fine, but they need more skills to begin to look at things like trauma or phobias or the sorts of things we teach at sort of level two. And then it goes into more complex areas at level three. But there are some areas that, unless you're skilled and you're qualified in other modalities, you just should leave alone. I mean, certainly psychiatric care, for instance, is something that we would leave well alone because we haven't got those qualifications. And it's all about keeping the client safe.
And Sue, what kind of training then would you give somebody that's just starting out? Is there a particular way of going about that? Can you explain that more?
Well, I mean, I think that when anyone starts out with the level one training, because I do really think that, you know, EFT is a practical tool. So, you know, whilst you can get the basics from reading about it or, you know, watching it on a DVD or whatever, I do think it's really important to get the practical hands-on practice. And at level one, I think one of the key things that we teach people is how to start clearing their own personal history. You know, Emma just mentioned with the personal peace process. I mean, we essentially give people the tool to use EFT to clear, you know, an old bothersome memory, and then set themselves up so that they can kind of go back through past history and begin, you know, a kind of house cleaning job. And I'm very, very fond of saying that you really learn this stuff on the inside out. And that's the way that you begin to see the fundamental principles of EFT, the sort of building blocks, if you like, and starting with clearing these old past memories that show up in present time is an absolutely crucial thing. And it's also you know, one of the building blocks that then takes us deeper into stuff with, you know, working with trauma, which we'll learn at level two, like using the techniques for dissociation, like the movie technique and telling the story technique and all those kind of things. So it's sort of building in small pieces. Other things at level one that are really important is, you know, learning to work with addictive cravings, which again is something that can be very empowering to the individual, to find that they've suddenly got some sort of, you know, control back over, you know, eating too many biscuits or eating chocolate. Similarly, another important learning example is beginning to work with pain, because I mean, so many people suffer from, you know, unexplained pain that they haven't been able to get any help from their GP, and you know, apparently a huge percentage of people go to their GPs with back pain. You know, there's nothing that can really be done for it, but often we'll get results through using EFT. And I think that, you know, these are just the beginning points, but it's about kind of empowering the individual, finding out how to work it for themselves. And then it makes it so much easier to then start to learn the artistry in the more complex ways of working with others and, you know, possibly going to practitioner level and working with clients. But I think without that kind of understanding from the inside, it's actually quite difficult to really thoroughly begin to move from the basics into the artistry of it.
Right. So working on yourself, first of all, very important, yeah?
Yeah, I just think that's so important, and it continues to be so important. I mean, it's something that we're very, very keen on, you know, with our trainings, and we encourage everybody to you know, develop that attitude of working on themselves primarily, and, you know, making themselves a clearer channel for, you know, the you know, healing to come through them rather than, you know, be something that they're actually doing to the client, if you like. I very much believe that we're kind of plugging into something larger than ourselves when we're using these energy techniques.
Mm, so like Gary says, getting out of your own way kind of thing.
Exactly, yeah, exactly.
And how do you feel about, you know, do you prefer to work with, say, the emotions than go back maybe and explore past issues? How do you feel about that?
Well, I mean, the emotions are usually, or always actually, resonating from past issues in some form, and otherwise they wouldn't be there. So whilst you can work with the emotions, actually ultimately what we do is we work at looking back to the specific events, always where they originated from, where they learnt to feel this way. So both really, you work with the emotions, but it's always about getting back to the specific events,
yeah,
you know, the table legs, if you like.
Right.
I mean,
right.
If somebody's, you know, a client is overwhelmed with a current emotion, you know, whether it's, you know, it's anger or sadness or whatever it is, that would usually be your starting place. But as Emma says, we'll, you know, these emotions show up in the present time because they're connected to unresolved things in the past. So whereas we would, you know, start with what's most overwhelming to the client in the moment, but always with an eye to sort of connecting that up with, you know, where it came from.
But is it important to have that original memory and to work on that, or can you just say work on the thought of that memory, or, you know, or just with the emotion?
Oh, I think you can work just with the emotion, because not all, you know, it's not always so easy to make a direct connection from something that's being felt in the present moment back to a specific memory. It doesn't always, you know, always happen as neatly as that, if you like. So when it does, that's absolutely fine, but a lot of the time we'll need to spend more time staying with the client's present experience and possibly working with physical symptoms, because our unresolved emotional stuff will manifest in physical form, in, you know, pain and discomfort, and quite often it's not necessary to kind of, you know, analyze it in a verbal or emotional sense. If we're able to work directly with the pain and physical symptoms and they're shifting, then often that's the best way to go. But it's a kind of dance between the emotional and the physical.
Because some people come in and they say that, you know, they can't remember a particular event, or they just have a feeling that something's not right.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, often, you know, that will be the place that the client starts at. And, you know, not everybody goes around, you know, having neatly packaged specific memories from the past that they come to you with. You know, it does require a lot of, you know, detective work and rapport, and, you know, and often time, you know, painstaking time, which, you know, it conflicts with our idea of everything being sorted in, you know, the 1 minute wonder idea, because often that isn't the case, and we have to be patient and, you know, and gentle, and you know, work with great care.
So if somebody comes to you and they say, well, you know, how many sessions is it going to take, what do you normally say to them?
Well, so it's a difficult one. It really is a difficult one. But what I tend to say is that we often find that even quite complicated cases would expect significant change within about 6 sessions.
Right.
You know, having said that, sometimes sometimes phobias are quite straightforward structures that we could, you know, deal with in maybe, you know, one or two sessions. I tend not to work with very, you know, straightforward cases these days anyway. So I'm generally speaking, you know, people will be coming to me and we'll be talking about, you know, serious disease or you know, some kind of addictive state or whatever. So I would, you know, I would really feel that this idea of, you know, around about six sessions is enough to get significant change within that. So, you know, even if we're talking about something really quite difficult.
But for me, it's about
kind of getting the, you know, the client empowered to kind of continue the work as quickly as possible. So I very much see my job as being, you know, aiding somebody to get past, you know, a particular block or a particular sort of sticking point, or, you know, something that is sort of unconsciously getting in their way, so that as soon as possible they're able to continue the work. So,
do you have a vision of where you want to take the client?
Well, to a place where they're able to find their own strength, really, and to say exactly when that is at the beginning point is often very, very difficult.
Because often people come along and they don't know their goal as such, so they don't know where they want to end up, as it were.
Yeah. Well, my great joy is when they, well, when I feel, but they also feel that they don't need me anymore.
And so you can give them help by what they go away and work on themselves, yeah?
Yeah, because, I mean, I just believe that to continue to work on ourselves in, you know, whatever tools we're using to do that is our lifelong journey. You know, I don't see that... there's necessarily a, you know, a point where everything is fixed and perfect and that's it. I think that sometimes we'll get over a particular problem and then discover that we are on some kind of, you know, journey that then becomes part of our life purpose. You know, sometimes that does happen through the process of therapy, where, you know, somebody might not have thought about things in those kind of terms before.
Right. Do you bring in other people's work in a sense? I mean, there's like Byron Katie, isn't there, and other people. Do you bring some of their kind of work into what you do?
Yeah, I mean, we're both very keen on Byron Katie's work. I'm a great admirer of Byron Katie, and I'm also a student of A Course in Miracles, which is a psycho-spiritual self-study program. So, you know, I use the principles of that in my work.
That's a work that a lot of people find it very hard to get into at first, maybe.
Yeah, it's a bit of a weighty tome, but you know, a lot of the, you know, the ideas which are now kind of more palatable in terms of like the law of attraction and you know, ideas that everything is energy, sort of fundamental principles from the Course in Miracles. So I think that we're sort of maybe moving into an age where these ideas are you know, much more, you know, acceptable or kind of currency than they were, you know, even, you know, maybe 5 years ago. So it's quite interesting.
Yeah. People talk about pure EFT, don't they? But is that realistic? I mean, do we need these other things really to enhance what we do?
I think so. I think that they're kind of the toolbox that EFT is the tool within.
Yeah.
And I think that we can never say, right, we've got the solution and we'll stick with this. We need to be continually developing and exploring and reading and discovering new things anyway. And, you know, we grow as therapists in the same way that we can hopefully help our clients to grow as you know, individuals. Very important.
Right. Yeah. What excites you both now about the work that you're doing?
Everything.
Everything, and everything is different every day. And just when you think you've learned something and grasped something else comes along, is more even more exciting and interesting.
I say that because you could just say stick with hypnotherapy or NLP or one modality as such. So, you know, why do you have the need to go off and you know, even get involved in EFT?
Yeah, I mean, I've always been interested in you know what works or what is the next sort of stretch of my, you know, my understanding and knowledge. And I think we're both like that. I think that's what sort of drew us to each other really in the first place. But because when I first started off studying psychoanalysis, that was because I didn't know that there were other forms of psychotherapy and different schools of, you know, thought and so on and so forth. And you know, once I'd sort of begun training, I then started to find out about other things and started to discover, you know, the possibilities, you know, from hypnosis in particular. And, you know, then I discovered that the psychoanalysis thinking didn't really allow for, you know, that kind of development, and positively discouraged me from exploration. And at the time it caused quite a conflict. I'd sort of invested a lot of time and energy and, emotion into the training that I'd chosen to do, but I didn't realise that it was going to be a kind of that or else situation. And I'm afraid, that actually wasn't for me. So it sort of set me off on a path of continual, exploration and discovery. Right. And I think that's the way I want it to stay, really,
I think we're both hopeless at being boxed in.
Yeah. But do you take things from, the things that you've learned and then take what you want from that as such?
Oh, absolutely. So it's like an ever-expanding pool of knowledge, rather than being there, done that, over it kind of thing. It's taking everything on board and adding to.
Well, it's fun. It's an innate sense of curiosity, which is kind of what you need when you're working with clients too, so that you don't sort of sit on your laurels and think, okay, well, this will sort it out or that will sort it out. You need to keep being challenged ourselves and challenging our clients.
Yeah, and interested and having fun. And I mean, that's what we really want to encourage, with all our students and everybody that trains with us, to really, develop that kind of attitude of, just being really interested in everything and really having fun and enjoying it, because it makes it so easy to learn when you're doing it from that mindset.
And it's infectious to your clients too. I mean, you have to walk your talk, which is why we place so much importance on the sort of from the inside out, of doing your own work first, really.
It's amazing the amount of interviews I've done where the word curious has actually come up, from an EFT perspective. So it seems like that's an important word to remember.
I think so, the importance of curiosity, yeah.
I know. I mean, if you think about it, when most of us who you've been interviewing, I guess, got into EFT, it really was very weird. People thought, what are you doing? You're tapping on bits of yourself and saying things out loud. So you have to have, I think, that curious streak to actually go with it.
Right.
And
how much has your work changed since you first? I mean, how long have you been doing it? I didn't ask you that question earlier.
What, working in
EFT?
EFT. It's about 8 years now, I think, isn't it?
So quite a while,
Since the beginning point, yeah.
I mean, my work is unrecognisable from when I first started using EFT. My EFT work is unrecognisable too.
Mm. Yeah. How much has it changed? What kind of things have you changed that, when we first started out learning EFT, is it very different what you do now? I mean, can you explain that for us?
I think when I first started learning EFT, it was very much, I started in the same way that is now called level one, level two. So it's kind of quite formulaic way, which, to be honest, didn't really suit me. I have to say,
being boxed in, isn't it? With hindsight, but at the time, it was a learning curve.
We stuck with it religiously. Yeah. Both of us, when we came across it at the same time, actually, in a supervision session with hypnotherapy, and both of us then literally studied Gary's CBD, God knows how many times, wrote notes and everything. And then worked out what because he was obviously doing more than we were being taught to do, if you feel what I mean. So we worked, and he's an NLP as well, so we worked backwards and worked out what he was doing, language structures and all sorts of things.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so we modelled ourselves very much on his work, and then it's kind of expanded from then.
Right.
So we brought in extra things here that, like Byron Katie, as you say, and of course Miracles and various other people and modalities, and continue to do that, which, we're lucky in London, we have the opportunity to do that.
There seems to be a kind of, not a conflict, but it seems like different people say, you should learn the basic recipe and go through all that for some time, and others say, no, you don't really need to do all those points and certain things can be missed out. Where are you with that?
Well, we're sticklers for learning it thoroughly in the first place. And it was back to what I was saying at the beginning about, learning in chunks, that whereas, if anybody sees my work now, it won't look it won't even look remotely like, the full basic recipe or the things that we teach at level one. But I think that your ability to work creatively and intuitively only really kicks in when you know the fundamentals, the basic mechanics absolutely so thoroughly that it's completely on autopilot and you don't have to think about any of that. And then you realize that you can work out for yourself how and when you're doing things, how many tapping points you're using, when do you stop, when do you interrupt a round, all of that stuff that then, looks like the, much shorter sort of free-flowing stream of consciousness version, but it's not really happening randomly. You know, there's at an unconscious level, we're able to make, you know, choices and decisions about what's working and what isn't, and you know, kind of operate on multi levels, really. I don't think you get to that without thoroughly learning the basics, chunk by chunk by chunk, in the first place.
So, I mean, going back to the kind of analogy of a car, you know, learning in that kind of style.
Exactly. How are you going to learn to drive a racing car unless you've actually learned, you know, thoroughly first gear, second gear, third gear, you know, the whole lot in the first place,
yeah.
You know?
So on an unconscious level, being able to do that and then moving on to do more advanced work, yeah?
Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, we often joke, it's like our tapping arms, because we always tap on our client. Like they've got a life of their own. We don't actually know what they're doing. We can rely on our arms just to tap where it needs to be tapped, whilst we're focusing on, you know, other things like the language and where it's actually going.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
So, what would be the one most single thing that you, if someone's starting out, that you would actually, you know, as from an advice point of view, you know, what would be the one single thing that you would say to somebody who is starting out?
Practice and study.
Yeah, absolutely. Practice, study, and have fun with it.
Yeah, because it can sound very serious, can't it, in a sense?
Yeah, it can. Yeah. And in a sense it is, but I think this cultivating this attitude of having fun responsibly, I think, is really, really important.
Yeah, and what about both of you, your direction now? What's lined up for you in the future?
Well, we've got two books that are reaching completion. I mean, mine's called Healing the Addicted Heart, the five stages of transformation, which is all about, you know, the meaning and purpose of going through various addictive states and emerging, and how to emerge the other side. And Emma's working on her book on cancer, which is a very practical guide for people to, you know, lay people, you know, and people working with people with cancer to use, very, very hands-on, very practical. So we're very much looking forward to getting those out.
Right.
And
are they available from your website?
Not yet,
but very, very soon. Well, better not say very soon. Coming soon in the next, you know, during this year anyway.
Yeah, it's quite a task, isn't it, to write a book and actually get it.
Yeah,
it required a lot of tapping.
Yeah. Yeah.
Walk your own talk. A lot of writing, actually.
All right, so the book's coming out soonish.
Yeah.
And you both got books out, and that's available on your website. And what's the website address there?
www.theeftcentre.com.
Right. And that will be available from
not
there.
The English way.
And what about your workshops and courses? If somebody wants to come along and study with you, how would they go about that?
Again, go to our website, which has all our dates. So we've got the full range of, you know, level 1, level 2, level 3 trainings, as well as our personal development or personal transformation workshops, Healing the Addicted Heart, which is what the book is based on, and also Opening to Love, which are really, you know, excellent workshops for people who are, you know, working on themselves as well as maybe working with clients as well. And we all run group sessions in central London, which are great for people to get a taste of EFT if they haven't necessarily had an experience with it before, you know, or just to come along and, you know, hang out and practice. So we run those sessions on the first Monday of every month. The details are on the website again.
Right. Well, Sue and Emma, thank you very much for talking to us today.
Pleasure.
And sharing the information, and maybe we can get back to you again and catch up with you and see, you know, what the latest things are that you're doing.
That would be lovely. Yeah,
that'd be great. Thanks, Gary.
Okay, bye for now.
Thanks, everyone. Bye now.